RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Wednesday Val, Wednesday Hump Day Val, and
Beans.
Wednesday.
So I am. I shared with everybody on Monday how I pulled my thigh muscles running to second base, right?
Yes, I remember that.
So I sit outside and I sit outside in the garage to do like my reading and stuff like that. It's nice out there, you know, whatever. And I just before the show today, I came inside and I stepped on something really squishy, and I was like, "Oh my god!
Oh no!
What was that?" And I frantically started jumping around like a lunatic and like ended up re-injuring my left thigh muscle just now to look at the bottom of my foot and see that my dog Lily decided to leave me a gift in front of the door.
Ugh, God.
I am so angry right now.
Wow.
She's like, "Yeah, you want to sit out in the garage and ignore me? Here, this dog is attached to me like an appendage, literally. If I'm gone for too long, like if I'm out of the room for more than like 10 minutes, the crying ensues. It is crazy. She is attached to me like she's a part of my body."
Well, she's giving you her all.
Oh, yeah, she sure is.
Putting everything she has into this relationship.
Many of the people... Oh boy, we're finding it everywhere now. They're very angry with us. We've been busy, Frank. We've been busy. And usually, you know, one of us is with these dogs all the time because we're all home.
Yeah.
They're getting angry with us. They're rebelling.
I would love to have a dog, but it's just not, we don't have any space. So there's that. So
they're rebelling at us. It's like the revolution in my house right now with these dogs.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, once it starts, it's hard to stop it.
I know.
Maybe we should just make them all get vaccinated. Hmm? Maybe that'll work.
Well, it might calm them down. So, what do we have on the agenda here? I'm looking at the headlines right now. Well, at least, no, that's not headlines. Here it is. Why did Simone Biles withdraw from the competition in the Olympics? What's that about? Said mental health takes top role at the Olympics. We do not owe anyone a gold medal. No one wants. What's happening here?
I don't know. It's so funny. I saw a meme floating around yesterday that said, "Women, we're just like men. We're exactly like them. You know, we don't need any, you know, we don't need any special treatment." Or I don't know what it was exactly. Something to the effect of like the patriarchy. Brah. And then also women, "You don't understand what it's like to be a woman."
Why are you in the Olympics?
If you can't
why
handle
are you doing
your,
this? Yeah,
if you can't handle yourself, we're an embarrassment to the world.
Holy hell yeah. This is ridiculous. First of all, especially this Olympic team, they made so much history 4 years ago, and it was such a fun thing to watch still. And, you know, we kind of cheered it on and all that stuff, acclaim, all that, and the gold medals. There's barely anybody watching the Olympics now. There's more than half of the pressure has been taken off since last time. What are they going on about? There's not even anybody in the stands. It's like they're having a private practice with cameras there.
It's embarrassing, and especially when we have ESPN sports writer William Roden saying this. Listen to this, if you can. Hold on.
"Last 4 years, I had the opening ceremonies, March of Cut. Then I just realized, you know, man, particularly after these last 4 years, I had it wrong. Nationalism is not good. We've seen the rise of white nationalism. Nationalism is not good. And also this whole idea, I keep thinking back on the Capitol riots, and I saw a lot of, you know, U.S. flags.
Right.
So now when I see the flag and the flag raises, man, what America am I living in? You know, are the ones that don't think, you know, we should be here?"
Wow. Well, you should definitely check yourself into a clinic somewhere. When you say we should be here, meaning should you be able to walk the streets and be gainfully employed without having some sort of a, I don't know, you need professional help. You might be a danger to yourself and others thinking this way. Very fatalistic thinking, these people.
Rodin also said that the nation's rocky early start in the Olympics should be humbling. I think we should be humbled, you know? I mean, the whole last year in this country is about entitlement and privilege, and nobody epitomizes that more than basketball. He further expressed his opinion, like anybody gives a crap, that the Olympic Games should have been canceled due to the surge of COVID.
Well, COVID's going to be surging for as long as we allow it, allow them to have control over the media. It'll be surging forever. So I don't cancel. I then again cancel, whatever. I don't care.
In another part of the interview, this woman, her last name is Gay. She is an editorial board member for the New York Times. She said, quote, "I'm on Long Island." Oh, wait a second. That's old. We played the Long Island gay flag thing. They stuck this article.
That's weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was right after Memorial Day.
Yeah, they stuck that in the article too for some reason. But there's a lot going on. The January 6th stuff yesterday, Frank. Did you watch any of that?
Oh, I tore into my show last night.
Do you have any of the clips?
No. I mean, let me pause for a second.
I have a few, so I can start playing them while you look.
Well, all I had was Kinzinger. I had Adam Schiff. I had that Officer Dunn and Hodges.
Yep.
And I put select music behind everybody, and I read off things as if it was Ken Burns with a Shokin farewell in the background, and we had a good time with it because it was an the worst performances I've seen in a long line, years now, of just horrible over the top performances. It was the worst I've ever seen.
They like Raheem Kassam, I think, said it, that they literally scripted it. Here's Adam Schiff. He's pretending to cry.
Better the next time, God help us. And if we're so driven by bigotry and hate that we attack our fellow citizens as traitors, if they're born in another country or they don't look like us,
stop smacking your lips, you puffy-faced bitch.
And God help us.
God help. God help. God help us.
Wow. It was so powerful when the guy that loves his country so much that he dragged everybody through two fake impeachments and lied about the Russians holding sway over the White House for 4 years. Yeah, he loves it so much. Loves it so much.
I'm utterly frustrated the past week. Like, just frustrated. Like, and I'm going to tell you something. It is totally not just the Democrats. It's definitely not just the Democrats, because Adam Kinzinger went from laughing to basically unable to speak in less than 10 seconds.
Crying. This is the first term Republican from Illinois that voted for impeachment.
So,
right?
I believe he did. Yep.
So the
January 6th hearing goes on, while at the same time, we have some bravery on our side for once. For once. Did you see the attempted presser of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Louie Gohmert? And
no, I didn't see it, but I read about it, and supposedly they had to flee because of protesters. What happened?
Yeah, well, protesters came and they interrupted the press conference, and they were initially denied access to the interior of the Department of Justice building, which is where they were going to have their press conference. But it was Gaetz, Green, Gosar, and Gohmert. So they went to the sidewalk and they said that they wanted to, you know, basically demand answers from Attorney General Garland on what's going on with these prisoners that are in jail right now in D.C. In a letter dated July, and this article is on Uncovered DC, really well done. In a letter dated July 24th, the members of Congress sent correspondence to Garland requesting a meeting to discuss this stuff. They said, quote, due to reports of civil rights violations against American citizens during investigations, prosecutions, and even conditions at the DC Central Detention Facility, members of Congress have been asking for answers for months, only to be ignored by the DOJ, the Capitol Police, and the Bureau of Prisons. One would expect to see abuses of political prisoners in tyrannical third world countries, not the United States. But we don't know what of these claims are true because the administration won't answer basic questions or give accountability. And it goes through a number of times that they wrote and have been ignored. February 23rd, Gosar sent a letter to the Capitol Police Chief asking for information, including surveillance video. Mm-hmm. May 20th, Gosar followed up and renewed his request. No reply. May 13th, and again on July 15th, Chip Roy sent a letter asking information in a briefing regarding the status. And that letter was also co-signed by Thomas Massie. Ignored. June 16th, Matt Gaetz sent a letter to the FBI asking for information and assistance. Everybody joined him. That letter is attached. No reply was received. April 22nd, Ron Johnson sent a letter. No reply. June 24th, Marjorie Taylor Greene sent a letter. No reply.
What do you know?
Isn't that amazing?
Just absolutely amazing.
They just get to ignore and, you know, I think this, here's Jim Jordan. Or not. I had
it. I know that there is that Kevin McCarthy didn't want to legitimize this commission yesterday by sending members there. Of course, the only two Republican people with Republican labels were, as you said, Kinzinger and Cheney. So I don't know. I guess maybe that is a good – what move do you make there if you're Kevin McCarthy? I don't really know because they're going to go through it anyway. You might as well just send a firebrand to just drop some bombs in there like nobody asked. Instead of crying, Kinzinger could have asked a question about stand down orders. Can somebody ask a question about, let's see, what else did I bring up last night? Oh, May 31st, 2020. Where the commission for where's the May 31st, 2020 commission? When dozens and dozens of Secret Service members and agents were injured, and there was a Secret Service booth burned down in front of the White House during the same stretch of violence in which a church was set ablaze twice in Washington, D.C., too, right outside the White House. Like, where's the consistency on that? Ask about, bring up the timeline of changing the stories of Brian Sicknick. Ask about those police suicides.
Well,
what about the three police suicides we heard about for 2 days and then nothing ever again?
Look, on the Sicknick thing, that's a whole different story because they even lied about that at the hearing. The two police officers that testified said that he died as a result of what happened there when the medical examiner came out and said that wasn't true.
They said that at the hearing?
Yeah, I think I have a – hold on. My phone is acting up right now, and that's where all my clips are, so bear with me. Hold on. I think this is it right here. What is wrong with my phone? This is wowie. Hold on a second. I'm pausing.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Police officers directly involved in those events and still hurting from what happened that day. I'm providing this testimony solely in my personal capacity and not as a representative of the United States Capitol Police. Before I begin, I'd like to take a moment of my time to ask for a moment of silence for my fallen colleague, Officer Brian Sicknick, who died from injuries he sustained in the line of duty defending the capital of our beloved democracy.
Wow. Pat, okay, got a lot of things wrong there. Holy hell.
This guy, why doesn't he talk to some of his colleagues about the selfies they were taking with the protesters how they ushered them through the front doors of the damn Capitol.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if this guy was punching admission tickets like the rest of his colleagues were that day. You know, and the beloved Constitution, our beloved democracy, it makes you wonder why everybody that voted for these people are out there burning flags and why they're denouncing their country and this place is it was founded on bullshit and it grew on bullshit because you're enslaving people and it was always a parasitical entity in the world. Holy hell!
Did he take an oath?
Where do we go?
Did he take an oath before? Did that everybody swear in?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Everybody swore in for the Kavanaugh hearings too.
Yeah,
and we'll never get justice for the lies there either. Doesn't matter. They control everything and the culture.
Well, I don't know about the culture.
The culture's gone.
I don't think they control the culture.
Well, they don't control individual people, but everything that every institution that was, think about the Olympics. Everything like that is under their control. So people go and there's going to have to be a organic movement to reestablish something new, like it's happening slowly but surely all over the place. But we have to just consider this year zero. Year zero. They got the internet. They got everything.
Well, then you got this.
And we have to get in those communities and we have to knock on those doors and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Indeed. Indeed.
And then you have this.
Geraldo?
Oh, no. Here.
If he doesn't get the show name right, starts right now.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now, because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change. They're, you
good.
Know, circular
good.
Logic.
They don't waste your breath then. Back. Less than half the country is vaccinated. Don, you're in the minority. You're in the minority. And where are these extremist viewpoints? Where were these extremist viewpoints over the last 10 years for influenza? Over the last 10 years where we had multiple years where not only the vaccines were ineffective, but they were deadly. And that even when treated or untreated, over 100,000 people died from the flu every year. That means over 1 million people died from the flu in the last 10 years. A million people.
You know what we need to do, Frank?
Where the hell was this extremist? Oh, my. Yeah. Well, listen, if we're making our way along.
We needed to vaccinate so that we could get back to normal, Frank. It was going to eradicate the virus.
Data came back saying you don't really, and that it's okay to be indoors.
Right.
Now, I guess the data is just different with Delta, but do you understand why people might feel a little whipsawed?
Sure.
Between the last announcement and this one?
Yeah, it's thoroughly understandable, but there really is a pretty clear explanation of it. And here are the data. When you go back 60 days or the 2 months ago, when you look at the level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and gets a breakthrough infection, it was considerably less than the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person. The data were clear. Now that we have a Delta variant, that has changed the entire landscape.
They're not even testing for the Delta variant.
How do you test for the Delta variant?
You got to look at the genome of it and like really like break down the viral particles that you capture on your test, which you can't use anymore because it's too ineffective in the emergency use authorization was removed. I swear we're living in crazy town. This isn't it. I just want to finish this. Hold on.
When you look at the level of virus in the nasopharynx of a vaccinated person who gets a breakthrough infection with Delta, it is exactly the same as the level of virus in a unvaccinated person who's infected.
That's I get the problem. It now.
So those data are very compelling.
I didn't put those pieces together.
Oh, you mean the vaccine doesn't do anything? Oh. Oh, all right. Okay, everybody. back to masking, back to quarantine. Come on, it's time, everybody. That vaccine we all just made you shoot yourself up with is completely ineffective and does nothing but kill people. Let's get them back. Let's get back to normal now, people. Put your masks on.
Doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense.
Everybody put your masks on again,
and,
please.
And this would not be a problem if it wasn't about, if it wasn't constantly about everybody has to do this or you're not allowed outside. You're not allowed to go to the supermarket. It would not be about you can go and take whatever you want. You know, most of us want every kind of drug decriminalized. You know, most of us on the many of us on the right want to see drugs decriminalized. It's ridiculous here.
CDC urges vaccinated people in COVID hotspots to resume wearing masks indoors. The guidance to be announced at 3 p.m. would reverse the CDC's May 13th recommendation that vaccinated people didn't have to wear masks indoors or outside because of the protection afforded by coronavirus vaccines. According, of course, to several people familiar with the decision who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss it. At the time, cases were dropping sharply, and the Delta variant, which is thought to be more than twice as transmissible as earlier strains of the virus, had not gained significant traction in the United States. That guidance had angered some people, including parents with young children ineligible for vaccines, who feared that relaxing mask rules would put them at greater risk. And then you get this study, all these studies that are coming out, Frank, all these studies. It came out, this article came out yesterday. Higher COVID rate found in some counties with higher vaccination rate. Why? And what it says about the Delta variant. I'm just going to read one snippet of this article. However, for those who have immune compromised people in their life, it's also important to remember that you can still get COVID and give it to them even if you're both vaccinated.
This is where I just can't get past the logic, and most people can't either. I just can't.
So this basically says, and this data tracks across all of the world. As here, statewide data analyzed by the Bay Area News Group found five counties, LA, San Diego, Alameda, Contra Costa, and San Francisco, have both a higher percentage of people who are fully vaccinated than the state average and a higher average daily case rate compared to the five counties which have below average vaccination rates and decreasing case rates. Wait a second. They explained it by saying, Frank, the counties with higher vaccination and case rates are more densely populated.
Mm.
And he said, like other experts they talked to, that vaccinated people could be unknowingly spreading the virus around.
Which is why I don't understand, because why would that be more strategic? To stop the spread is not possible. That's pretty much what they're saying.
Yes.
So we just want to find a way to keep people out of the hospital. But you look at the survivability rates, and it doesn't jive with anything else. The one thing that they'll always have on their side is that they've been able, through very crafty accounting, they have been able to accrue over 600,000 deaths that are related to COVID. Because when you look at the lethality of this thing statistically, then you wonder why everybody is so willing to shoot themselves up to try to keep the – I don't know why they're willing to give themselves over to this experiment to not even prevent this – its spread. Why not just let it run through everybody?
And it'll get weaker and weaker as it does
weaker
that.
And weaker. And then all of a sudden it's like we don't – I don't know. This is where it just it falls apart. It all. I don't care how many nasal pharynx, how many scientific terms these people, these blowhards, throw out there. The common sense just doesn't add up at this point.
It's extremely troubling, extremely troubling, and even more troubling is the article that I read yesterday from that doctor. What was his name? Vandenbosch.
Yeah, I heard he put out like a final warning.
Yeah. And, you know, I read it. I read the entire thing. I read through. I'm not a scientist or an immunologist or whatever. And there are some positive things that we can do. But he explains everything. I'm going to put it in the show notes. And he's basically saying that the vaccinated people are causing a mutation of the virus or mutations of the virus that are much more deadly than if it were to just naturally go through the process and, you know, have that natural.
Yeah, that's what his initial hypothesis was.
Well, he's saying we're seeing it now in the increase in hospitalizations, in the increase in cases, and that the disease is now, or the virus is now, affecting people in that age range where they would have successfully fended it off before because of everybody walking around a spike protein factory. He goes into a lot in this article, and the conclusions to it are how to mitigate this problem. First of all, stop the mass vaccination campaign. Stop it today. We all know that's not going to happen, with Mayor de Blasio literally now talking about forcefully vaccinating people. It's something that just came across, and I don't have a clip for it right now.
Well, they used to do this stuff all the time. I don't see why anybody. Well, of course, if you're not up with how bad governments can be and often gets when it remains unchecked in the way that we have let it go unchecked, then you know that we are only maybe just about 100 years removed from forced sterilization of women.
They're not. Well, this could technically, you know, be considered that, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's probably a big part of what this is all about, because the people who are selling us this stuff under the guise of loving humanity so much on an off year when there isn't a declared pandemic, taking up so much of our consciousness, they're telling us how the world is overpopulated and we need to correct it quick. So I just considering the salesman, I don't want the product. That's number one. But number two, many times throughout history, but especially in this country, people who have been deemed a problem or a danger to themselves and others, they have been mandated by the courts. The courts have actually affirmed that it is legal in the past to forcefully sterilize women. Chemical castration. It's happened before in the past. For anybody to think that it is beyond the pale for once all of the cajoling and all of the sticks and carrots don't work, they're going to get rid of the carrot and just use the stick. It you really are not grasping the situation we're in if you think that is too far out.
So there are some positives out of his article. Ugh, God. I almost didn't want to talk about it because, like, it thoroughly terrified me yesterday reading it, and I can't verify anything he's saying for myself. You know what I mean? I just have to say, okay, well, he's a guy. He did this, 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 and this. He probably knows what he's talking about. You know, okay, great. But he's saying early treatment, of which we know that there is, and prophylactic treatment will stop this in its tracks, even with the vaccinated people running around. So Don Lemon, go ahead and hang out with all your pals at the sports stadium. Oh, because Phil Oberman, did you see that?
Who?
Oberman.
Keith?
Keith Oberman, not Phil. Keith Oberman. You see what he said?
No, but he always says something stupider than the day before.
Oh,
let me
play this for you. This is rich.
I'm sure he's going to whip out some really good vocabulary, too, because he loves vocabulary. It makes him sound smart.
Here he is.
It is time for all unvaccinated athletes to be removed from their teams. The first game after baseball's All-Star break, the Red Sox at the Yankees, was canceled. At least six positives on the Yankees, including a player just back from the All-Star game. If the All-Star game was not a mini super spreader event, if it wasn't the COVID home run derby, we all lucked out, just as if the upcoming Olympics aren't a full-scale super spreader disaster. For anybody but a player to get onto a baseball field now, they have to produce proof of vaccination and wear a mask because many players remain deliberately and even defiantly unvaccinated. It's the players who are now the risk to everybody else. This is madness. They are public figures. They are role models, and they are enabling this subculture of selfish, stupid, arrogant, dangerous.
It's not a subculture, Keith. You're in the minority. It's not a subculture. If you're in the you're in the minority. It's not a subculture. You're the subculture. You're a weird pharmaceutical cult.
It's so strange.
It's a pharma cult. They're all like, stop the subculture. Take our drugs. You're not in the majority. So what the hell are you talking about?
He's saying that. Do you want to finish it or no?
He makes me sick. I'm sick to my stomach right now. So
he says that they should all be removed from their teams.
Right. He should be removed from society, sent to the North Pole.
I wish maybe that's what they should do. They'd be so happy.
They've got all the biggest billionaires on the planet. Trillionaires even, because they got the banks and everything. Why don't you just create an artificial island chain like the Chinese are doing and let the rest of the world just kill itself? If they remove themselves, that'd be amazing.
Just go somewhere, guys. Just go. Go somewhere. Create your little utopia. Anybody that wants to go can go. And leave us the hell alone. We don't care about you. We don't care about what you say. We don't want to listen to you. You have, just get out of here. Go away. This is how I feel about certain things going on locally right now. Just go away. Nobody, ugh.
Yep.
Just go away.
I don't want anything from them. It's not like if they don't get their way, they have to do it our way. I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah, no, I don't care. I don't care what you do. You want to shoot yourself up with all the experimental drugs in the world? Be my guest, but just get the hell out of my face. Legit, get out of my face. I don't want to see you anymore. Like, go away. We got to talk about the Arizona audit. New subpoenas went out, Frank. Now Dominion is being subpoenaed. Also, so this is the first time that Karen Fan and Warren Peterson have gone after Dominion for information. They have been requested to appear August 2nd at 1 p.m. at the state capitol. I bet you anything, they just don't show up. Here's what they subpoenaed. All are found in Exhibit A, as per Wendy at UncoverDC.com. Pass keys, pins, and passwords for all levels of admin for precinct tabulators, voter registration database, routers or the virtual images of the routers and public IP addresses, network logs, Splunk logs, and NetFlows for a period of 60 days before the election and 90 days after, information on the breach of the public voter registration data, all ballot envelopes or their digital images. But as that's going on, we also have a little bit of a controversy with Ken Bennett.
Who's this?
The Senate audit liaison, the former Secretary of State, Ken Bennett.
Okay.
He's the one who the Senate appointed to kind of run the process and like be their liaison or whatever. And apparently he has been barred from the building at the state fairgrounds because he's now admitted publicly he was the root of a leak regarding the count that's going on. And
okay. Which leak was that? Do you know?
The leak about the recount that they're doing, the third recount.
I did not know. Okay. Well, either way, keep going. I didn't hear about that.
He leaked it to a group that leaked it to the press, and they are very, 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 very serious about that stuff. The leaks, because there have been leaks this entire time of nonsense information. And I like just me as a journalist watching this is like, well, I wonder who that could have been. Like, hello. You know what I mean? Like if you do it once. So the auditors, this is a quote from Bennett on the show that he was on explaining this. The auditors completed the hand count a couple weeks ago And although they haven't released the results specifically, that count must have been significantly different from the Maricopa County count, because all of a sudden, the Senate started talking about a third count to verify the number of ballots that are here in the 1,691 boxes that the county gave us. One of the other assistant liaisons, Randy Pullen, was assigned to take the lead on the third count. So I, meaning Ken Bennett, went to Randy and I said, we have to be very careful that the third count is, of course, independent from Cyber Ninja's second count. We have to make sure we're not force balancing to their numbers or giving them something too early that would allow them to force back to our numbers. If we're going to do a third count to check a second count, which apparently must have been different from the first count, we have to keep the third count independent and we've got to make sure we aren't force balancing or they aren't. So we talked about this already, how there was a discrepancy and they want to triple check themselves, which I think is a good thing.
Right.
And so there's that. And then Senate President Karen Fan released a statement yesterday also stating that, during the forming of the audit process, Ken Bennett offered his services as a liaison between the Senate and the auditors. As a past Arizona Secretary of State, Senate President, and a family friend for decades, I couldn't imagine anyone better for this position. Knowing the auditors were from out of state and would need someone to coordinate with the Senate, Maricopa County supervisors, and elections department and assist with logistics, he's an asset. At the July 15th hearing, he was the expert testifier in describing the problems the audits encountered. They go through blah, 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 blah. They say that the physical counting of the ballots and machines will be fully complete this week and returned to Maricopa County. Since Maricopa County has been less than cooperative, a question came up a few weeks ago about what happens if the audit numbers don't match with Maricopa County's numbers. Our attorney suggested the Senate perform an independent counting of each ballot paper prior to the ballots being returned. This has been accomplished under the direction and authority of the Senate by Randy Pullen, who's a retired auditor with a nationally renowned auditing firm. This past week, members of the media have asked why Mr. Bennett is not engaged in this part of the Senate ballot verification procedure. As Mr. Bennett was quoted in the media, quote, I shared some box counts of how many ballots were in each box, and that got leaked to the press, and I apologize to Senate President Fan. Is that thunder?
No, it's a boiler. Somebody's using hot water.
Oh, I had promised that information would not be leaked to the press, but it indirectly got done. So that's how I got barred from the audit.
All right.
So we've got a leaker. You just don't do that crap, Ken. You just don't. Freaking ridiculous. So there's that.
The leaks are everywhere.
The leaks are real. The news.
If all things are relative, it's actually been pretty tight.
Yeah, but the leaks that have come out have been ridiculous. Why can't you just shut your mouth, Ken Bennett? Why?
Don't know.
Why are you sharing box counts with anybody? Why, Ken?
Too juicy. It's just too juicy. Duh. Well, what kind of a chance or threat to screw this up in any way? Does this stand a chance to damage the overall effort? Obviously, if things like this get out over the course of an investigation, criminal investigation, whatever, it stands chance to at least notify people or let people who are might be under the microscope to, I don't know, clam up and, you know, you want to be able to keep this close to the vest. How can this threaten the overall effort, if at all?
It really can't unless he's, it really can't, except it just gives the media more crap to deal, like to have them deal with. And it gives whoever this person is, whoever this group is that's doing this audit, them information that they would not have had, I don't believe, if he hadn't have given it to them. Like, if you need to know how many ballots they're counting, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you, like, what Ken's talking about retroactively trying to match. I don't know. I don't know. It's just annoying. It's like, why can't you just shut up? I don't know.
Well, at this point, honestly, if it's really just about, well, are you going to give the media something to report on or something? I almost feel like it doesn't matter because the media was never going to give it any kind of fairness. Whether they learn about what's happening today or tomorrow or a couple of weeks from now, they're just going to take the opposite stance on everything. And now that they have this January 6th commission that they're going to be putting out, they're going to keep alive for as long as necessary, especially to counterbalance the news coming out of Arizona. That'll be peddled as petty. This will be peddled as historic, January 6th. And then you have – what about the congressional effort that was announced 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point to try to gain some kind of illegal oversight into the efforts in Arizona? Where is that going?
I just think they're ignoring it at this point.
Yeah.
Which they should, because everybody ignores all the letters from Congress, apparently. So just keep ignoring it. But if you remember Sonny Borelli, Senator Borelli, said on the interview that we did at Dark to Light that by the court system there declaring that they had to respond to a FOIA that included their contractors because there was an outside group looking for information, FOIAing, and the Senate said, no, they're not, you know, they're not part of the government. We don't have to provide that information. And then a judge ruled, yeah, they are, because they're contractors of the government, so you do have to provide the information. That opens up the door for them to now say, well, Dominion's a contractor, so now they have to provide all the information under the same ruling that they were trying to get them with. But I don't even know anymore, Frank, because where is any fairness or justice in this country?
Well, yeah, that was going to be my next question. What's going to hold... What's going to hold that court to the same standard to be applied to Dominion? It's obvious that everybody has taken a side here, and it wouldn't be the first time that you say, "All right, well, you have to do something over here." Okay, we'll apply it the other way. No. It's not applicable because of A, B, C arbitrary nonsense bullshit excuse. That's it. You know, the Perkins Coie people there. Any other. Like I said, we've been taken over by lawyers, completely taken over and dominated by lawyers who see words as weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just – they don't apply contracts as written, especially the Constitution. Everything has double and triple meaning. And conveniently, the law always errs on their side.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Every time. No joke. There was somebody forwarded along a recording of a conference call that was – it's being floated around that this was like some actual government official in Australia, but it wasn't. But it was a conference call basically of people trying to organize together to, you know, arrest the officials that are trying to lock them in their houses and take away their freedom and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Now, this movement has fallen apart since then, from what I can gather, because I did the research on it. But like, there are people all over the world going through the same exact thing. Now, I am certainly not anyone listening advocating for anything like that here in the United States of America, where we are united and strong. Right, Frank?
Very united.
I'm certainly
nothing
not
can
saying
stop
that.
Us.
Nothing can stop us now. But what I'm saying is that there are people getting really frustrated all over the world that there is literally no fairness anymore. Anywhere. Including your own neighborhood. Rah-rah, shish kumbaha.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for the podcast when I can talk about all this. It's coming. Anyway, one more thing quickly before we end today, Frank. One more thing. Wisconsin Representative Janelle Branchin is the chair of the Committee on Campaigns and Elections and the vice chair of the Committee on Government Accountability and Oversight for the Wisconsin Assembly. She posted a press release saying, quote, as much as the Democrat on the 25th of May, by the way, as much as the Democrat Party and the mainstream media would like to move on from the 2020 election with their usual nothing to see here, please don't look any further, stances. We've uncovered real problems with the 2020 election. We're not going to look away from the two clerks in Milwaukee and Madison who turned 70,000 indefinitely confined voters into roughly 260,000 voters without an ID. Yeah, it's true. The Supreme Court ruled in their favor on that. We're not going to just pretend that Mark Zuckerberg, who was busy using Facebook to silence conservative speech on the front end, was not funding get out the vote efforts inwards that vote heavily Democrat on the back end. The November 2020 election had a lot of irregularities, and to ignore them would not serve the people of Wisconsin. And now she's posted another press release with a major announcement. Quote, while Wisconsin is in the process of an election audit, I will be working to ensure that it is augmented with the expertise and resources to ensure a comprehensive forensic examination. Voters have made it clear that they want a thorough cyber forensic examination of tabulators, ballot marking devices, and other election equipment, which I will be helping facilitate on behalf of the committee as chair. The new comprehensive forensic examination promised by her adds to existing actions by the state that are ongoing right now. It allows for the state of Wisconsin actually allows for investigation for 22 months following the election. And she said it's going to happen.
Well, that's I did not know the 200,000 votes thing.
Oh, God, that's a hell of a story. My gosh.
I didn't even know that.
So
man.
They ruled that the instruction was that those people couldn't make you indefinitely confined, because indefinitely confined people can fill out ballots without signature requirements and all kinds of other crap. It's crazy. There were already 70,000 people on that list in Wisconsin. It was an official thing that you had to like actually be granted. And the people that run the board of supervisors made the decision completely unilaterally on their own that rule about having to have certain characteristics didn't apply anymore. And anybody that's COVID affected can be considered indefinitely confined and vote that way. So 260,000 votes came in indefinitely confined.
Wow. You can flip that state about what, 15 times over?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Jeez. These are the stories that I missed.
Yeah, there was a Supreme Court, a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision on that very thing, and they ruled that it was illegal and those votes were not legitimate, and nothing happened. They didn't do anything about it. 260,000.
Wow. That's serious.
But, you know,
well, I don't know what to do. I mean, what do we do? What do we do? What could we do?
That's it for today. I'm done. Put a fork in me.
Well, I learned a lot today.
This was a busy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Thanks for having me back.
Certainly, Frank.
You got it.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and on RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Friday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petock, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.